every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
This has just been handed to me. This is about the jab, where you go, etc. Edmonton Family Medical Centre is one of them. You've also got the Balance Edmonton Family Practice at Edmonton. You've got the Two Good Road Family Medical Centre, the doctors at Mulgrave Road Medical Centre. What else have you got here? That might just do us for the moment. We'll get some more a little bit later on. Smithfield Central Doctors at Smithfield. Look, we'll get back to those matters a bit later because I've got a gentleman on the line who's been waiting patiently. Look, just quickly, under the heading Jab Lotto in the Cancer Post yesterday, or Courier Mail rather, yesterday, it reads, health workers at the coalface of Queensland's fight against COVID-19 have lifted the lid on the state's vaccination rollout, which the nurses' union has likened to luck of the draw. Claims of the difficulty in scheduling vaccination appointments raised by staff have been backed by Queensland Nurses Midwives Union, which has acknowledged some essential workers had trouble organising their COVID-19 jab. Look, I'm going to cut to the chase here, because Professor Chris Perry is on the line. Now, Chris is president of the Australian Medical Association Queensland, and he's got some information on, well, fundamentally, where you can go to get your jab, if that's what you're pursuing at the moment. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I'm glad we can talk to you, because there's a whole lot of people, and particularly at the moment over 70s, who are now eligible, I understand, wondering what to do, how they go about it, where they go, et cetera. Have you got some information to help them out?
Yeah, look, you got those practices which are in the first cohort of distribution hubs. That's available from the website. There's a Health Direct website, which hopefully a lot of your listeners will be able to access. If they can't, their family and friends should be able to do it for them. There's also a health.gov.au website, which has the same information. So Health Direct or health.gov.au. And they'll have the list written down for people, so your radio station won't get inundated with calls. Yep. When you know what practices have currently got them, you can contact that practice, although they'll be overwhelmed with phone calls. It's going to take a little while for the vaccines to roll out properly. The 50 million vaccines aren't magically here. They're going to be made, developed, produced over 26-week period, we hope, but it could be a 50-week period. Mm. They can certainly do a million vaccines a week at the CSL factory in Melbourne, but they're hoping to go up to 2 million. It's quite a big effort to try and get these things rolled out. Now, the government's being quite smart. They're only letting a few practices start giving the vaccines out, and they're only getting between 50 and 100 or so vaccines for the first week. Okay. In the second week, there'll be more practices. There'll be more than 1,000 Australia-wide. Hopefully, there'll be 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000. AMA's position is we hope there'll be all, 5,500, 6,000 general practices in Australia will all have lots of COVID vaccine doses sitting in their regular refrigerators and be able to give the vaccines easily to people in a large scale. But at the moment, it's going to come up slowly. The first appointments will come on slowly. So you can contact your practice or your practice website. You go to the website of your GP and get some information on it. And don't be too impatient. We're not going to be travelling overseas for the rest of the year at any rate. Yeah. So take it easy.
All right. You said there are going to be lots of them available. I think 6,000-odd practices across the country, et cetera. But you don't know when we're going to have easy access, meaning we'll have these so-called millions of doses available.
Yeah, look, CSL are talking a week or two to be up to putting out a million doses. The doses come in 10-dose vials, so that's not a million bottles a week. It's still 100,000 bottles a week, which are being filled. That's like a milk factory. That's going pretty well.
Yes. Very interesting analogy. Let's move on to fundamentally to the people who are eligible at the moment. Now, you're saying, I think if you're over 70, yes, contact your practice. But remember, they're likely to be overwhelmed if you're calling by phone.
Yes. And then they've got their ATSI people, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people over the age of 55, because they're from the Spanish flu. We know very vulnerable to this infection. Other healthcare workers. Don't forget the local general practice they'll want their own workers to be protected, because they get coughed on all the time.
Yeah.
And more likely to get COVID than a non-healthcare worker is. and also people who are particularly vulnerable, people with other underlying health conditions. So the GPs will know that. Probably it'll be a month before, I hope, every general practice will be able to get access to these files. So we're trying to say to people, don't overwhelm them just at the moment. Yeah. Just relax, it's coming. And the good thing is these seem to be really, really safe, and more importantly, in some ways, really, really effective.
Mm. Those 6,000 outlets you talked about, they wouldn't be operational in a month's time, though, would they?
Oh, we hope so. Well, you know, it's just a vaccine. Australia can give out 15 million vaccines for the flu in a year.
Yeah,
they run pretty quickly. It's a scale up from that, but not that much. And we, you know, the flu vaccine, you want to do it over about a 3-month period. For 15 million, we want to do 50 million, this year.
Yeah. Now let's go to the age brackets. At the moment, over 70, of course, you've got healthy workers and I think Indigenous people 55 plus, et cetera. Talk to me about the brackets that follow on from those.
Well, there's a 2A and a 2B, and to be honest with you, John, I'm not sure of those brackets. So it's just going to be under the age of 70.
Yeah.
I really don't know. So if I don't know, who does?
Yes.
So, as you know, it's rolling out. There's a little bit of conflicting information we're all getting, but this thing is incredibly a transparent process. Mm. Nobody's hiding anything. Things change from hour to hour, let alone day to day, and we'll see how the rollout goes. But people who are under the age of 70 and got nothing wrong with them, who want to travel, I imagine it's going to be about a month or 6 weeks before they can start to line up to get their vaccines. But we really don't know.
It's interesting too. The boss of Qantas says, "Oh, well, you won't be able to get on my planes unless you've got proof that you've had the jab, a certificate, or whatever, or something on your mobile phone." I know it's very early. Nobody's had any practice at this sort of procedure. But loosely, what do you think might be available one day, as far as proof about having had the jab is concerned?
Well, I don't know. It's going on to the National Immunisation Register, the usual Medicare card to register you in. And once you're registered, once you've got your two shots, perhaps they'll send you something to put on your mobile phone. Mm. We haven't seen it yet. Mm. There's a large meeting of doctors from all over Queensland this Friday night, and we were supposed to be being shown the IT program, the mobile phone app, all about this. We haven't seen it yet. We're not sure we're actually going to see it. But we hope to. So we'll get the information out to you when we can.
Yeah.
Don't
go away, Doc. This is an interesting one too, this emergence of anaphylaxis. And, of course, there was a touch of panic yesterday, as there always is when these things hit the media. It seems to have settled down last night. Can you give us a little bit of information? There'll be sure to be some people listening who have suffered something to do anaphylaxis.
Yeah, look, anaphylaxis is a subtype of allergy. So initially people were saying if you've got an allergic condition, don't get the vaccine. Well, 15% of people tend to have allergic-based conditions. But from England, I learned in January that they were getting some anaphylactic reactions. Mm. They said that they seem to be quite easily handled. For most people, it seems to be a mild asthma attack or a little bit of swelling at the site. The doctor needs an ampoule of adrenaline nearby, somewhere in the building, because people don't suddenly fall on the floor.
Yeah.
They just start to get a little bit tight in the chest, or they start to get a little bit more swelling around the lips, the eyes, or the injection site. Yeah. And it's very easy for a doctor to give an appropriate under-the-skin injection of adrenaline.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a vein access. You don't need a drip, usually for these adrenaline injections. Often it's just a case of listening to the chest with a stethoscope. You realise there's a tight chest, there's asthma sounds, and you just give a bit of Ventolin, either by a puffer or you have a nebulizer, one of those things which are terrible in hotel quarantine, but quite okay out there, and breathe on some bubbling oxygen. And it'll just settle your tight chest down if that's what you get. But it's quite a rare event.
Mm.
They're saying one in a million, but by the numbers of vaccines that are rolling out, it's a bit more common than that. But people are using terms anaphylactic shock, which is a very severe thing. Well, they're not getting anaphylactic shock. They're just getting a bit of an allergic reaction.
This has been really helpful today, Chris. I appreciate this. Can we get on to you in a couple of weeks to see how it's all rolling out?
I'd love to, John. This is all part of the job. We have to let people know this is a very important part of Australia's history.
This has been excellent today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thank you very much.
Professor Chris Perry is the president of the Australian Medical Association in Queensland.